ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, I wonder this time where she's gone. Wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away, and I know, I know, I know, I know. Sunshine when she's gone. Only darkness every day. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away.
You're listening to special coverage of the eclipse here on ACB Radio Interactive. Also, we are being carried on 106.3 WTND LP Macomb, Illinois. Also on 88.3 WQNA in Springfield, Illinois. And without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can get the folks in here on Team Talk. Hopefully this is going to work.
Message selected. Channels tab.
One okay, three. Joel, can you hear me?
I can.
There we go. We got you on the air.
Fantastic. Ain't Got No Sunshine When You're Gone by Bill Withers. I hope everybody enjoyed that little bit of musical humor as we begin our special Eclipse program. Greetings, Eclipse lovers. This program is brought to you on ACB Radio by Lines Audio Description Project, and this is Dr. Joel Snyder, director of the Audio Description Project. You know, audio description is all about
messages. Tab 2 or 3 selected. Stop transmit. Button.
Words.
Transmit.
Principally for the benefit of people who are. An eclipse, though, is a rare visual event, a scientific and cultural phenomenon, and we believe that people who are blind need not be excluded from television, visual art, or a total eclipse. So in just about 30 minutes, the sun above Nashville, Tennessee, will disappear from view. The sky will be dark, but through the use of succinct, imaginative, and vivid language, well, that's what audio description is. Hopefully the event will be accessible to the millions of people worldwide who are blind or have no vision, or anyone who wishes to experience a verbal version of the visual. And we think that sighted folks actually can appreciate a different language-based perspective on this important event. And of course, if sighted people listening, and if you don't have special glasses, you'd best not risk damaging your eyes by looking at the sun so you can hear the images translated into words. As many of you already know, the eclipse is, in its totality, will be accessible to people in the United States in a diagonal corridor, a 70-mile swath of land stretching Oregon in the northwest to South Carolina in the southeast. And when we noted that Nashville, Tennessee is right in the path or region where the total eclipse is visible, we knew what to do. I got in touch with my friend Laurie Ward, who is the marvelous manager of Audio Description Tennessee Performing Arts Center, as well as the good people at the Tennessee School for the Blind, including Dr. Dave Martin there and Brent Cordes and all kinds of good people there. And Jenny as well has been helping out. And by the way, we got in touch with the Mid-Tennessee Council of Dan Dillon. And Lori Ward enlisted one of her top describers, Julia Coffin, to take on the task of preparing for description of the eclipse. So we'll bring our friends in Tennessee on in just about 10 minutes so we can hear what you might not be able to see in the minutes leading up to its totality and then its aftermath. First, we thought we'd share some pertinent information, even a little bit of trivia about a solar eclipse. I want to reiterate, though, safety is foremost in the minds of anybody who's outside looking at the eclipse. You better be doing it with glasses until special safety glasses. During the totality, you can look at the sun. Today's event involves the first solar eclipse visible in the United States. Actually, all of North America. Anyone with sight within the path of totality can see one of nature's most awe-inspiring sights, a total solar eclipse. Otherwise, we hope to use words to do justice to this. This path where the moon will completely cover the sun, allowing the sun's atmosphere, or the corona, to be particularly and astonishingly evident. It's like a stunning halo, really, a ring of light around the edge of the dark moon. Observers outside this path, back where I am, I'm in Washington, D.C., that's why I'm turning to my friends in Nashville to do a description. Outside the path, we'll still see a partial solar eclipse where the part of the sun's disk, a total eclipse of the sun, that happens when the moon gets between Earth and covers up the sun. It just so happens that the moon and the sun, as seen from Earth, are the same size in the sky. So if the two are exactly lined up, the moon can hide the sun from our sight, because the sun, of course, is so many, many times larger, but the moon is so many, many times closer to us. When that total eclipse happens, the sky becomes dark. Stars become visible. Birds stop chirping because they think it's time to roost. And people have an eerie night in the middle of the day. Shadows become sharper. Temperatures may actually get a little bit lower. You may notice the absence of sound as wind dies down and living things seem to hold the breath. So for a second, there is a faint ring of the sun's last crescent of light, and then the bright flash of the last. That flash is the light of the sun glimpsed through a valley on the edge of the moon. And sometimes there are red or pink prominences, small tongues of hot material jutting outward. During the eclipse, there may be what looks like a bright star not far from the sun. And this will not be a star at all, but rather the planet Venus, our near planet, whose cloudy atmosphere is reflecting the sunlight very effectively. And then there may be another diamond ring around the shadow of the moon as the sun emerges from behind the moon. The whole thing takes just 3 minutes or so. Next eclipse, if you missed this one, if you're not tuned in, the next eclipse to go through the continental U.S. will be on April 8th. 2024. Mark your calendars now. I mean, it'll mostly go through a different set of states than the one today. So maybe this is a good time to mention that if you know folks who missed this broadcast, it will be archived at ACB Radio. You can find a link to it at the website of our audio description project. That's www.acb.com. So the exact cosmic lineup, the total eclipse, will last a maximum of, 2 minutes, 40 seconds. I have it here in the center of the moon's shadow. And that's actually short for a typical total solar eclipse. Some can last 7 minutes. The exact time it lasts depends on your location in the shadow band and will likely be less than the maximum. The closer you are to the central line of the eclipse shadow, the longer you have to enjoy spectacle. So I think nowadays, in 2017, we have a pretty good idea of the science behind a solar eclipse, but it wasn't always so. People saw the sun disappearing in the sky, and they were frightened. Stories to explain what happened. This is fun. I'll give you just a few of them before. In many cultures, the darkening of the sun meant the gods were angry with humanity and about to inflict some punishment. Often that meant that in order to appease them, you had to kill someone. Oh boy. In Transylvania, people believed an eclipse was caused by the turning its back on the sins of humanity, creating a poisonous dew. The Inca viewed eclipses as a sign that the sun god Inti was required appeasement with offerings. And even the Native American Tiwa tribe, an eclipse meant that the angry sun was leaving the sky to go visit his home. Aztec priests predicted that if there was a solar...
Folks, we apologize for the buffering.
We're trying to get it
solved.
They said the whole world would end. So every year on 4 Olin, they would perform a ritual human sacrifice. And as the priests likely knew, they were sophisticated astronomers. Aztecs, there would be no solar eclipse on 4 Olin until... Hope their prediction about the pass. Solar eclipses on other dates were also met with human sacrifice. Aztecs they mostly sacrificed fair-skinned prisoners gods on eclipse days. But that report actually comes from a 16th century missionary. Let's see, for Muslims, it's an opportunity to read a section of their scriptures that describes an eclipse occurring on the same day that the Prophet Muhammad's young son died. Imam Asif Umar said, he tells us that during that eclipse, Muhammad gathered the community to pray. Ever since, Muslims around the world recite the same prayer whenever they find themselves in the path of an eclipse. The concept is to observe that the sun is so much larger than the moon, but the moon is so much closer to the earth. It can show how the universe was created from the Islamic point of view. It's really a reminder of divine power. Jewish tradition offers specific blessings that believers should say upon phenomenon, and the Talmud actually describes an eclipse as an ill omen for the world. Hindu traditions are more specific. The guidelines for Hindus during a total eclipse: don't eat any food cooked before the eclipse after it's over. And if you've stored any drinking water in your house before the eclipse, get rid of it. Get rid of it. This is a good one now. Try not to conceive a child around eclipse time for fear of... And oftentimes clothes are washed thoroughly following an eclipse. Let's see, one or two more here, and then we will get moving along here. Sometimes the eclipses don't happen because the gods are angry. Terrible things are going to happen, or because a demon is hungry or something. Now, sometimes a random trickster figure feels like being mischievous. Indeed, in ancient Persia, eclipses happened if the trickster Pari decided to blot out the sun just for fun. In the legends of multiple Native American tribes, Choctaw, the Menominee, an eclipse happens because a little boy has trapped the sun in a net, usually to get revenge on the sun for burning him. The boy refuses to release the sun, and an animal has to chew the net open. Oh, me. So, the eclipse comes, though. It's inevitable. It's unstoppable. And it's without caring what we think of it, you know. There's really nothing we can do about it. Well, in the words of retired NASA astrophysicist Eclipse Chaser Fred Aspinak, this is great. You get an overwhelming sense of humbleness and how small and petty we really are compared to the mechanics of the solar system, clockwork of the universe. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to Nashville, Tennessee. And Lori Ward from the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, as well as Julia Coffin, one of their top describers. Julia, are you there and ready to go?
Okay, Julie was here. Let's see what we got. Voiceover's going to come on for a minute while I activate my transmit and see what we've got.
PM. Two notifications. News for Jacks. 2 minutes ago. Solar. General chat. Disconnect. General. Larry Turnbull. User. Text message. Julia. User. Text message. Joel. User. No name. User. Text message. Parent channel. General. View. Button. Transmit. Button. Double tap and hold to stop transmit.
Julia.
Okay, this is Julia in Nashville. Can you hear me? Excellent. Okay.
We can. Good.
We have a number of buttons that we have to push, and we didn't have them in quite the right order. Okay, we are in a current state of partial eclipse. We are down to just the tiniest little sliver of sunlight. In fact, it looks something like the thinnest of crescent moons. The primary difference is that with a moon, a crescent moon, all you can see is just that faint light. Today, we can see a thin, thin light with a ball right in the center. So at the center of the curve of the crescent, we have a black ball. Now, this has taken about 30 minutes or so to get to. We started with just almost a bite out of the sun. Just the tiniest bit of darkness. And then that tiny little curvature of darkness grew and grew and has slid across the sun until now we are in this state of curvature. In the courtyard at the School for the Blind, because we have so little sun and because we do have a bit of cloud coverage, it is already quite dark. It's like the cloudiest of days. Just a faint gray light is passing over all of us. There are probably 100 or 150 of us all desperately looking up into the sky, hoping to see something truly spectacular. At the moment, we have just the darkest of rain clouds sitting over the sun, and it is about to open into a hole, so we'll be able to see absolutely everything here in just moments. Now, that tiny sliver is beginning to shrink so that it is just the thinnest little thread on the left side of the sun. Just a tiny little thread of light, and everything else is almost black. We can see faint beams shining down in different directions. But to be honest, they are incredibly faint. But this is one of those rare times that we can see them. Normally, the sun is so bright that we can't even really see the beams. We know they're there, but we can't see them. And right now, they just look like streams of white, kind of shooting down from the sky.
Are you in a total eclipse, Julia? Is the
No, not
out?
Yet.
Not yet, okay.
Not yet. Literally, it is just a tiny, tiny little string running about halfway around the sun. It's not all the way around, just on that left side.
And, of course, from the NASA feed that we're also following, got the sun in totality now, but I'm not absolutely certain where their cameras are pointed, but we're getting an image of total eclipse, just a black ball in the sky surrounded by the sun's corona, bright rays of light shooting out from all around 360 degrees around the moon and sun.
We're hoping we'll be to that very soon. Right now, it's dusk. I mean, it is literally dusk here. The temperature has dropped significantly.
Wow.
And we have a faint breeze blowing, which is great since it's 94 degrees here. So just a little breeze. And we have approximately 5 minutes until totality. The crickets have started chirping.
I was about to ask, what about the sounds, Julia?
Well, there's just a faint rumble running through the crowd who's here. Other than that, it's been literally silent. No birds, no dogs, no traffic noise, just silence. But now we're starting to hear crickets. And I believe a cicada or two. And they start to kind of trill up and down and trill up and down. But beyond that, everything is completely still.
Magnificent. So it's about 125 in Nashville, and yet it probably feels like it's 7:30 at night or 8 or something.
It really does. And we're at 4 minutes until we have what we are hoping is totality. And the sky is getting just ever so slightly darker. The colors are changing. I read an article that might happen, and it is. Instead of this kind of crystalline turquoise color, the sky is now becoming this kind of hazy, deep, muted blue. And the clouds that are in the sky don't seem quite so defined, except for one that's directly across from our vantage point of the sun. And at that spot, the clouds are perfectly outlined. It looks like they're bursting out of the sky, the sun. It is getting even grayer here. The trees are now a deep olive tone of the leaves. And the crickets are starting to get a little bit louder.
I'm not sure if we can hear some of them.
You probably can.
Nashville crickets are being broadcast around the world on the internet on ACB Radio.
You know, well, they're musical just like the rest of the town.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Nashville. You know, Julia, I'll be reading some excerpts from Annie Dillard's Total Eclipse, a marvelous nonfiction piece that she wrote describing her experience of a solar eclipse. Since you're in partial eclipse right now, I want to read one quote from her work. It says, "Seeing a partial eclipse bears the same relation to seeing a total eclipse as kissing a man does to marrying him, or as flying in an airplane does to falling out of an airplane." That tells me you've got something coming up in just a minute or two.
I am really looking forward to it. And the crowd is starting to get a little excited. And it is quite dark here now. it looks as though a storm cloud has rolled in and we're about to get just the biggest downpour, but that's not it. It's the eclipse.
Yeah, the sound from the crowd, that's actually a part of what happens, really. There's that silence, and then when you go into total eclipse, the people scream, what's going on? What's going on? You know, people before we had the science.
You know, the more I see of this, the more I understand why ancient cultures were afraid of this. Because in many ways, it does kind of seem like two great gods fighting and one starting to overtake the other. And it's close to late night right now. Everything is deep, dark, dark. In fact, many people would probably hope for street lights. It is so dark.
And actually, that makes sense.
Coming on.
It's probably darker than it gets at night, because at night the street lights do come on, whereas they're not set for coming on in the middle of the afternoon.
It is literally dark enough to be about 9 o'clock at night here. And we can just barely see the faintest of streams of light coming out, shining from behind the clouds. And we're starting to see stars. I mean, these stars are brightly piercing the night.
Yes, it looks to me like you're approaching totality.
Yes. And it's so interesting because in the distance, while we're here in such a dark, dark place, I can see off in the distance where it's still quite light. It's almost dusk there, but late night here. Ooh. And the clouds have turned to this really inky, deep, deep gray purple color.
Can you see the corona?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, the corona of the sun shining out from beyond the moon?
We're having some difficulty seeing that.
Uh-huh.
We have a cloud that's wanting to pass by and block a few things. But as I get tiny little flashes, I can see. I believe they call it the jets. And it almost looks like a mist, just a deep fog forming around the sun. And that fog is just kind of settling and ever so slightly rising beyond the sun. And in that fog, I can see shades of pink and blue and a pale, pale yellow. And it's a little tough to see, but I believe there are these moments of spiraling where this fog is kind of turning and spiraling. Aside from that, everything is dark.
Wow. Can you see your hand in front of your face, Julia?
I can. we're seeing just a tiny burst of sun coming through that darkness now. And that sliver is beginning to grow just a bit. And for us, the clouds have opened up.
Excellent.
And the sun.
Excellent.
And this tiny sliver are just peeping through the clouds. Just peeping through those clouds. And it almost looks, because before it was so dark and the moon was covering in such a total manner that it was like this deep gray light, and almost the sun had been traced in a gray circle around it. So you could just barely tell it was there aside from mist hanging above it. But now, it's as though a laser is cutting the shape of the sun out. from that dark shadow and that dark sky. And so we're starting to see the outline of the sun grow. It was just the tiny little piece. But now that line is moving further and further around the sun, and more of the sun is being revealed.
So it looks like a crescent moon, and yet the light you're seeing is from the sun.
Yes.
As opposed to being reflected off the moon. So you must be going out of totality now, is that right?
We are. We're exiting totality, and in fact, everything is starting to get a little bit lighter. Where we had that deep, inky sky, we're starting to get back to these shades of gray and pale, pale blue. It's still very faint, not the vivid sky that we expect to see. But we're starting just to see those shades of blue again. And now the sun and moon have moved to the point that it is a true crescent. Because the sun is the crescent, it's incredibly vibrant, almost electric. And the crescent has now become about the size that we would expect to see from the moon. It was kind of the letter C, and now it's much larger. We're not quite to something like a slice of orange. We're not quite that thick yet. But we do have a very clear C, and the shadow is starting to move off toward the left as more and more of the sunlight is revealed.
A crescent sun.
Yes.
Well, normally we think of a crescent moon, but this is the crescent sun.
The crescent sun. And as that crescent begins to grow, in some ways, thankfully for us, we have a very thin cloud that's covering it. And so we feel perhaps a little more protected than some people do. But the sun is reflecting off this cloud so brightly, and we can still see that electric crescent, but it's making the cloud itself glow. And so we have this beautiful, kind of thin, fluffy curtain that we can see through. And as we look through it, we can see this bright, ever slightly morphing crescent that gets slightly larger and larger as the shadow slides away.
Are you noticing a change in, creatures, animals, people around you?
You know, as you can probably hear, we have a good deal of jet traffic here. However, when the jets are gone, I just noticed that the crickets have stopped. They were in full trill literally just 2 or 3 minutes ago, and now they've all but stopped. I hear one or two way, way in the distance. But beyond that, it's becoming day again. And so all of our kind of nocturnal sounds are gone. Those few stars that we could see so brightly, just piercing the sky, are now gone again as well. And it's starting to look something like late dawn. We don't have all those pinks and of dawn, but the way the light falls on the ground, it's starting to be just that moment of dawn right before we go, oh, it's day, I have to get up now.
You know, you mentioned jets flying in and out of Nashville. That might be a good place to observe an eclipse from up in the sky, huh?
That's what I thought. Wouldn't they have the absolute best vantage point?
Maybe so. I know that there are some cruise ships that scheduled special eclipse cruises, so you could watch it from out in the Atlantic.
That would be special.
Sure.
They'd have the water stretching past them and the sky stretching beyond them. That would be an exciting experience. Now we have almost half the sun, I would say. But the cloud coverage is starting to get thicker. And so we still, again, feel very protected. But because the sun is getting brighter and brighter, this cloud coverage that's attempting to go over it is really glowing. And I can see at the very back, because it now looks incredibly three-dimensional, we see this kind of dark facing of the cloud, and then behind it we start to see the texture. You know, we always think clouds are fluffy, and we kind of see the edges peeking out of these clouds, but the very back of the cloud that's receiving the highest light does have the faintest pink, rosy pink glow to it, and I believe that it's the coolest yet.
Well, half a sun is better than none, isn't that right, Julia?
Yes.
But I guarantee you're going to get the whole sun back shortly, very shortly.
Yes. It won't be much longer now. And then we won't worry so much about our cloud coverage, will we? But the sky is starting to get brighter. And we are at, perhaps at that moment, the very last moment of dawn, we're starting to see the turquoise colors again. And the sun's rays are becoming quite bright. Where were it not for some of the clouds here, they would be very difficult to look at. And we're seeing less and less of those faint little misty white lines falling down to the earth. Our eclipse is almost over.
What about the temperature, Julia? You said about an hour ago it was 90-something, or?
Yes, it was 94 degrees to begin.
And wow.
Right as the sun went almost a total eclipse, it was literally maybe 10 degrees cooler, and there was just a faint, faint breeze. It was considerably less humid, oddly enough, but maybe it was just because it was so much cooler. And now it's starting to get toasty warm again.
not too much for relief there. Not too much time.
No, but we'll enjoy whatever we get. And now our crowds are starting to go in because the most exciting moments are over. But we're not quite at full sunlight yet.
I was going to say,
that'll take.
Still have a little bit of the moon's shadow covering the sun?
Yes, just the faintest little bit, but it's also kind of tucked behind the clouds. I think we probably have maybe 5 or 10 more minutes, but the most exciting moments, the darkest moments, the moment of totality, that's over. So our crowds are starting to slip away and go back into their classes. Or a few kids are going to the playground because you're outside, so you have to go to the playground. And the rest of us, well, we're just hoping for one last glimpse.
Do you have, Julia, do you have a Dan Dillon or a student from the school there? I would love to get their take on, as people who are blind, on what just happened.
Dan is nearby. Let me see if I can get over to him. If you'll give me just a minute.
Sure.
I have to kind of walk across a few steps. So Lori's getting Dan ready, and I'm going to give him my headset. So give me just a minute.
Of course. Julia and Lori are coming to you from the Tennessee School for the Blind in Nashville, Tennessee. And in just a minute here, we will hear from... We're hearing a lot of microphone noise.
Is this the mic here?
There you go. There's Dan Dillon, who's a board member of the American Council of the Blind and part of the Mid-Tennessee Council. Dan, how are you?
I'm fine, Joel. How are you?
I'm doing well. So please give us your reactions, your experience of the eclipse.
Well, first of all, I think Julia did an outstanding job audio describing the eclipse. And, you know, the temperature, when we had totality, the temperature dropped, the crickets and the cicadas came out, you could hear them, and we had a little breeze. And then after the after the eclipse, it warmed up, and there wasn't any breeze, and of course the crickets and cicadas stopped their chirping, and quite an experience, Joel.
Just amazing.
Yes,
absolutely. And have you ever? Now Dan is of a certain age. We won't say how old Dan Dillon is.
Oh, I don't. You can tell him. You can tell him I'm 96.
Joel. You're not 96.
No, I'm 75. But I don't mind.
I'm wondering, Dan, have you ever been through an eclipse before, a total eclipse or a partial eclipse before?
Never. So this has been quite an experience.
Wow.
And I think it was a great experience for the students at the Tennessee School for the Blind.
And, indeed.
What they've done, they had it piped inside in the auditorium. Then they brought the students out to the courtyard here, and they had the sound piped outside here so they could hear Julia. And they behaved themselves. They were quiet. I think they were quite intrigued with this whole event. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly a tremendous educational experience for anybody, whether you're officially a student at the Tennessee School for the Blind or anybody listening. I think there's something to be gained by hearing a verbal version of the a spectacular visual event.
It was a very unique event to experience. It really was.
Well, that's fantastic. Are any students around there that we might chat with for a minute?
Can we get a student? Can we get some comments from a student? I think most of the students have gone to the seventh hour class.
So yeah. they don't get the rest of the day off or anything.
No. No.
Okay.
But it would be interesting to get some responses from the students and record them, maybe use these when we archive. We can add those to the archives.
I think that's a great idea. We can and we'll make them available on the Audio Description Project website. Certainly, I'm sure there'll be a link at acb.org as well. But we'll definitely have a link at acb.org/ADP for Audio Description Project.
It sounds great. And let me commend you, Joel, on the job you do as director of the ADP project. And it's a wonderful program sponsored by the American Council of the Blind. And I got to mention my buddy who chairs the ADP committee, Dan Spoon, who does a wonderful job, too.
He does indeed.
But the people out there, I don't know if they all know about, audio describing the inauguration and the Olympics and now the solar eclipse. So we're moving ahead. I think it's
absolutely
great, Joel.
Special events. You're absolutely right. Audio Description Project will enter its 10th year in 2018. Planning all kinds of celebrations, and we'll have a major conference in St. Louis. And we exist to promote the availability of audio description, provide information on description, and take care of these special events every now and then to draw attention to our audio description project.
That's wonderful, and I think more and more museums and theaters around the country and playhouses are doing audio description, which I think is great.
Absolutely. We try to keep track of them on our website so people know where to go for description. Speaking of performances, this is a good time to thank Lori Ward and Julia Coffin from the Tennessee Performing Arts Center. And in fact, they won an award from the Audio Description Project just last year. Our Achievement Award in Performing Arts went to the Tennessee Performing Center in recognition of their great work with audio description. Well, thank you, Dan, and please give a hug to Julia and Lori for me. We're gonna take it back now, I think, and we've got a few more tidbits here and some music to share with you about audio description. But thank you so much, Dan.
Thank you, Joel. Great job.
Okay. Some of you folks may be wondering about a little bit of information, a little bit about the history of the eclipse. I picked up a few facts that I think are kind of interesting. One question was, what was the most famous total solar eclipse in history? Well, I looked that up. Getting some microphone noise there. Anyway, King Henry I of England, the son of William the Conqueror, died in 1133. That's the 12th century, folks. The event coincided with a total solar eclipse that lasted over 4 minutes on August 2nd in 1133. Historian William of Malmesbury recounts the hideous darkness agitated the hearts of men. Death, a struggle for the throne, threw the kingdom into chaos. Eclipse for that to happen, but it happened in 1133 in England. What is the earliest recorded total solar eclipse? This is an interesting one, and I would not have thought to go as far back. Historians and astronomers believe that the legendary eclipse that two Chinese astrologers, Xi and Ho, failed to forecast, the eclipse occurred nonetheless in October 2134 BC, making it the oldest solar eclipse ever recorded in human history. And there was a Babylonian eclipse in the year 1375 BC. And that's the oldest successfully predicted and recorded in the Western world. Evidence that the Babylonians knew about the Saros cycle, 18 years, 11 days, and could use it to predict the approximate years of eclipse. Now, here's another little bit of trivia for you. You can use this at parties tonight. If you're attending some eclipse parties, ask your friends, what is a syzygy? That's right. That's what I said. A syzygy. S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. A word I'd never heard of before. Here. Well, apart from it being a wonderful word to use in Scrabble, this is an astronomical term for an event in which three astronomical objects are lined up with each other. So a solar eclipse is a syzygy. Let me do that again. A solar eclipse is a syzygy involving the lining up of the sun, Earth, and moon. So you can ask your friends tonight, hey, where were you during the syzygy? And they'll say, what? And you can explain to them. I mentioned earlier a work by Annie Diller, Total Eclipse. She wrote this marvelous piece of literary nonfiction in 1982,
Julia has
describing her personal experience of a solar eclipse in Washington. Just read a bit from her. Again, audio description's all about words, and Annie Dillard would have made a marvelous describer, description began around 1981, but it hadn't gone many places until a little bit later, I should say. Annie says, without pause or preamble, silent as orbits, a piece of the sun went away. A piece of the sun was missing. In its place, we saw empty sky. You do not see the moon. So near the sun, it is completely invisible as the stars are by day. What you see before your eyes is the sun going through phases. It gets narrower and narrower as the waning moon does, and like the ordinary moon, it travels alone in the simple sky. The sun simply shaves away gradually. You see less sun and more sky. The sun was going, and the world was wrong. The grasses were wrong. They were platinum. Their every detail of stem, head, and blade shone lightness, and artificially distinct as an art photographer's platinum print. Color's never been seen on Earth. The hues were metallic. Their finish was matte. The hillside was a 19th century tinted photograph from which the tints had faded. The sky was navy blue. My hands were silver. All the distant hills, grasses were fine spun metal, which the wind laid down. Faded color print of a movie filmed in the Middle Ages. I was standing in it, by some mistake. I was standing in a movie of hillside grasses filmed in the Middle Ages. I missed my own century, the people I knew, and the real light of day. Finally, from all the hills came screams of sky beside the stretching. It was a circle of evening sky, suddenly lighted from the back. It was an abrupt black body out of nowhere. It was a flat disk now almost over the sun. That's when there were screams. I heartily recommend Annie Dillard's Total Eclipse to you. I'm sure you can find it in a library near you. It will provide a wonderful reading experience and provoke some memories of the day. With that, we've got some music for you that we want to share with you. But before we do, we got to say thank you to Lori Waffen, our expert describing team in Nashville from the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, David Martin, Brent Cordes, and Jenny Robinson at the Tennessee School of Mind. They were great. They really made this happen. And, of course, our own Dan Dillon, who you heard from, a board member of the American Council of the Blind and also with the Mid-Tennessee Council of the Blind. Larry Turnbull was our expert engineer, the manager of ACB Radio, and we literally could not have done any of this without Larry's help. He's been great. And I also have to thank our leaders, of course, Kim Charlson, the president of the American Council. When I proposed this idea a couple months ago, she just immediately picked up on it and said, make it happen. And Dan Spoon. Dan is listening, I'm sure, and Dan Dillon mentioned him. Dan is the chair of the steering committee of the Audio Description Project. I'm Dr. Joel Snyder, and if you know folks who missed this broadcast, once again, it will be archived at ACB Radio. You can find a link to it at the website of the Audio Description Project, and that website, www.acb.org/ADP. Well, what better way to close out our Eclipse program with this wonderful music? You're going to hear the Beatles' Here Comes the Sun, which is a, wouldn't you say, followed by Stevie Wonder, You Are the Sunshine of My Life. Bye, everybody.
All right.
Before that, Beatles. And this is Larry T, and thank you so much for joining us. We had a great turnout. Couldn't ask for anything better. And I know some of you are wanting more of the scientific descriptions, you know, about how the eclipse goes and that sort of thing. And, of course, some people like that, some people don't. We wanted to provide just what the sighted person sees and all that. And the soundscape, soundscape app that is out for the eclipse is a great app. You can get that from the App Store, and it will provide a lot of nature sounds and scientific information and, you know, descriptions of that sort of thing too. This show will be archived. I'm going to work on getting that up here the next day or so, and we're going to sign off here. And I will leave you with Eagles and Tequila Sunrise right here on ACB Radio Interactive with the 2017 eclipse coverage. And as previously mentioned by others, the next eclipse to affect the continental United States will be in 2024. And we'll make every effort to be there then. So with that, I'll leave you with the Eagles, and I will talk to you this Friday night on my regular show, the Friday Night Free-for-All. Goodbye, everybody, and it's been a pleasure.
For the record, we never broke up. We just took a 14-year vacation.
Thank you.